The following is a presentation of Mountaintop, a church of many nations in many locations. For more information, email us at info@ccmountaintop.org.
First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. It says this, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed," somebody say uninformed, "about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Father, we thank you, God, for your abiding grace that is with us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for that you loved us so much that you're willing, God, to continue to grow us in your image, to mature us by your word. Father, we want to continue to be changed, God, in you. And so, Father, we ask, God, this morning that you would touch us, oh God. Open the ears of our spirit that we might hear what you are saying. In Jesus' name we pray. Can church say amen? Amen. Give somebody a high five and say, "Bottom of the ninth, baby." Amen. Amen. Wow. As I've told you before, this series called "The Bottom of the Ninth," it basically represents the end times. We're talking about the end times. And I am a huge, as many know, I am a huge baseball fan. And the reason I love baseball, the reason I love sports, is because in sports and in games, you have one thing and one purpose, and that's to win the game, amen? That's to get the victory, amen? And I believe in Jesus Christ that we already have the victory, amen? Over sickness, over sin, over death, we have the victory. And I tell you, I love being a winner. And so if you're in Christ, you are on the winning team, amen? I say you are on the winning team, amen? Somebody need to give God thanks that you are on the winning team. Praise God. So this whole message in the end times, don't let it scare you. Don't be afraid, okay? Understand that God just wants to inform you, to make you realize that you can have confidence today, because at the end of the game, at the bottom of a knife, in the end, you're going to win. Hallelujah. In the end, you are going to win. Well, how do you know that, Pastor Rob? Well, I know it because the Word of God says so. Amen. And God has a plan. He has a plan for all of history. He has a plan for mankind. He has a plan for today. He had a plan for yesterday and tomorrow. And really, this plan that he has for the humankind really started with the nation of Israel. Back when God created the heavens and created the earth, he created man, he selected a man named Abraham. And through Abraham, he began to covenant with Abraham in relationship. And out of the heritage of Abraham, he selected what we call the Jewish people or the nation Israel. He didn't choose Israel because they were anything special. He didn't choose Israel because they were good looking. He just chose Israel because he wanted to choose Israel to have relationship with him in covenant relationship. That meant that he would give Israel his laws. He would give Israel his commands. He would give Israel his undivided love and attention. But guess what? Israel rebelled against God. Over a period of time, they wanted the things of the world more than they wanted the things of God. So much so that even when God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, they rebelled against Christ and would not receive him as Lord. And that caused a problem. Well, actually, it caused actually a great opportunity. Because the Bible says, because of the hardness of their heart, God opened up relationship with the Gentiles. Well, who are the Gentiles? The Gentiles are people like you, people like me. Gentiles are all humanity, all the nations of the earth, besides the Jews. And so because of their rebellion, God opened the door that you and I could have a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. It was the birth of the church. The birth of the church actually happened in Acts chapter 2. People were gathered in a room. They had heard of Jesus Christ. They had heard of his life, his death, his resurrection. They knew that he was sitting at the right hand of God. And so they were in this building, and they were there for a prayer service. In the midst of the prayer service, they heard something that sounded like a mighty rushing wind. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord came in, set upon them with coals of fire upon their head, and they all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages that represented the Spirit of God coming and indwelling in temples made by God. The church was born, the ecclesia called out of the world to serve God. Aren't you glad you're part of the church? Amen. It started all at that place. But God didn't forget about Israel. He didn't forget about the Jews. And even though they were dispersed across the whole world, in 1948, God began to do something. He began to bring the Jewish people back to Israel. And in Israel, Israel as a nation was formed again. Israel as a people was formed again. And even today, millions of people are flocking back to Israel. Millions of Jews are coming back. And that represents something. It represents the starting of the time clock of the end times. That's right. The end times. The end times. When ultimately God will come and judge the earth, and he will set up his throne on earth for 1,000 years. Ultimately, his kingdom will fully come. That begins that part. But until that happens, we are now experiencing an age of apostasy. Well, what is apostasy, Pastor Rob? Apostasy is a turning away from God. And we are seeing that in our world today. Even though millions of people are coming to Christ, there are still people who are rebelling and turning away from God. You know, when our nation was formed, it was formed as a Protestant nation. Our leaders, over 95% of our leaders who established our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, were men of God. They were men of faith. They were men of the Protestant faith. They were men who were Christians who believed in Christ and the inerrancy of the Word. That's why that Constitution that was written so many years ago was such a sound document, because it was based upon the truths that were revealed to them in the Word of God. Now, the interesting thing today is that we're trying to change the Constitution. We're writing up new laws that are against the will of God. And that, I believe, is happening because in many instances, the body of Christ has refused to be salt and light in their culture. And we've elected ungodly leaders, and we've set back where they have established ungodly laws. And even sometimes we have been very proactive and being in the world, and being of the world. And what has this led to? Well, I believe this is leading to America weakening. It's leading to America weakening. What do you mean, Pastor Rob? When you think of the moral decay that is going on, when you think of the fast acceleration of immorality, of pornography, when you think about our love for money and violence, America is weakening. And think of this. Even with all these going, how many know that God still has a plan? Amen. He still has a plan. And part of his plan is what Scripture would call the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church. The word rapture actually is not found in the Bible, but it comes from a Latin word, okay? And that Latin word, raptiro, means to snatch up. It's like when my kids were babies and they were getting ready to get into trouble or touch something that wasn't, I would snatch them up. So it means to actually be snatched up, to be seized open by force. And the Bible says that there's coming a time, and no man knows, when Jesus will return and he will snatch us up out of all this mess. Amen. I said he will snatch us up out of all this mess. All that this is going on, he will snatch us up to actually be with him, to be with the Lord. And not only will he snatch us up, he will snatch us up and give us glorified bodies, brand new bodies. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to have one day a brand new body. Ladies, that means no more enhancements. Guys, that means don't have to worry about what you eat. Amen. That means, listen, that means you don't have to worry about hip replacements and knee replacements and medications. You don't have to worry about cancers. Amen. You don't have to worry about sickness. All that stuff will be taken care of. You're going to be a perfect body. Now, everybody can't be as perfect as Pastor Tim, but how many know in Christ all things are possible? Perfect body. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. And so this is a time of encouragement for you and the body of Christ. Jesus is returning. He is returning to bring his church, the body of Christ, back to him. And so Paul is writing to this church at Thessalonica. This church is a young church. They had just gotten a revelation through Paul about the coming of Jesus Christ, about the Son of God who had died for their sins and now sits at the right hand of Father. They had come to the revelation that he was the Savior of the world. This church in Greece was now saved. These people were loving God. But there was a problem. They knew that based upon the teachings that Christ would one day come again to get them. And so during this time, many of their loved ones and friends had passed away. They were now in the graves, and their question was, well, what happens to our friends who have died? And so Paul answers this question through this letter that he sends through Timothy to this wonderful church. And this is how he answers that question about death. And matter of fact, how many know that unless the Lord returns, we will all die one day, amen? We don't have to be scared of that. And that's why he writes this letter. The first thing he says this, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. The rapture is actually called our blessed hope. It's called our blessed hope. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you actually think about death sometime? You talk about it at your dinner table, right? Probably not. It's something that we don't talk about. But the Bible is very clear that at death, that mankind, there's only really two options for mankind. You're either saved or you're unsaved. You either will live with God forever or you'll die under the judgments of God. And so now Paul is talking to this church, and he's saying this. He says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed. Look at somebody and say, don't be ignorant. How many know we need to know what's going on? Amen. Says, don't be ignorant to the truth. And what is the truth? He says, those who sleep in death, those who are asleep. He said, he uses the word asleep or sleep, and it's a euphemism for actual death. He says, those who are asleep in death, that you not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. Now, have any of you ever been to a funeral where the person who died did not know the Lord? That's a sad time, isn't it? That's a time where people really have no hope. But praise be to God, those who are in Christ Jesus have a hope of everlasting life. Amen. And he's saying even those who are asleep still have that hope. We have a blessed hope that comes in the Lord. We have a blessed hope that comes because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And how many know faith, hope, and love? Amen. None of them will ever fail. Amen. Especially that hope that we have in him. But he moves on and he says it this way. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. So we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. And I love that. He says that we believe that Jesus died and rose again. What is he talking about? He's talking about our faith. Actually, the rapture is the fruit of our faith. It is the fruit of who we are. It is our faith that gives us that hope. Now, how many know that the Bible, does anybody like love stories, love novels? I know my wife does. Anybody else? Some of y'all just are living a love story, right? Say, my life is a love story, right? But do you know the Bible is a love story to the church? The Bible is a love story. In the Bible, early on, Israel is called the lover of God, the lover of Jehovah. And in the New Testament, the church becomes the bride of Christ. And this is very interesting. I began to look up what early marriage was like in the nation of Israel. And this is how usually most marriages happen. If there was a father and he had a son, he would see a nice family and a nice family that had a nice daughter, and he would actually go to the father of that bride, of that daughter, and he would ask that father to allow that bride, that daughter, to be his son's bride. He would actually go to the father for and behalf of his son to ask for that young lady to be his son's wife. Did you know that God did the same thing with us? He sent his Holy Spirit from heaven, amen? And he asked, using his Holy Spirit, we, the church, become the bride of Christ. But how many know that brides during that time were very expensive? How many know that weddings are very expensive? And what would happen is this. When that father of that son would go to that father of that bride, the father of that bride would say to the father of that son, well, how much are you going to give me for my daughter? Now, I tell you, I wish I would have known that last June when I married Megan. I didn't know that, baby, because things would have been a lot different. How many know that Jesus himself, by his blood, purchased you and he purchased me, the body of Christ? And not only that, this is what they do. After they came to an agreement, yeah, that this young man would be married to this young woman, they would seal it through a covenant agreement. And that covenant agreement meant drinking wine out of the same cup. Isn't it interesting that we remember the covenant of God by coming to this table and drinking from that cup and taking that bread? We, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. And then something else would happen. Once that agreement was made, even though legally they saw themselves as being bound together, that father would take his son back home. And that son would take time, somebody say, take time, to prepare a place for his bride to be, to prepare a home, to prepare his occupation, prepare all those things necessary to take care of his bride. Do you know that Jesus said, I go to my Father's house to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, hallelujah, I will come receive you to myself. How many know he's coming back? Look at somebody say, he's coming back. He ain't going to leave me. Because he made a covenant. Glory be to God. And see, it's our fruit. It's the rapture is the fruit of our faith. It encourages us because we know that we are the bride of Christ, that he will return for us one day. But not only that, the rapture will awaken all true believers. How many true believers do we have here today? Amen. Oh, well, some hands shot right up. I mean, how many true believers do we have here today? He puts it this way. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, somebody say the Lord himself, speaking of Jesus, will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, I love this. Because it's saying that one day, you and I do not know, we will hear a call from heaven, from the clouds. It is the same type of call that Jesus gave to Lazarus when he says, Lazarus, come forth from the dead. And we will hear a trumpet sound. And the dead in Christ, in other words, the dead who are truly Christians, who are in the grave, your mama, your daddy, your grandparents, your friends who have gone on, who have passed away, who love Christ, the Bible says that they will be raised from the dead in new resurrected bodies, and that we will follow after them. That's powerful, amen. That they will rise from the dead, all true believers. I said all true believers. Because I believe there are some who will never hear the call because they never had a relationship with God in the first place. But the true believer will have mommy ears. What are you talking about, Pastor Rob? See, mommies know what I'm talking about. Can I get a witness, mommies? Come on, mommies, can I get a witness? How many know there's a difference between mommy ears and daddy ears? I remember my kids were little babies, all right? Kids are little babies. And Lynn and I go to sleep, and thank God we've been going to sleep together for 26 years. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But that takes me on a whole nother subject. Anyway, we went to sleep, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I am sound asleep. I am knocked out. I am dead to the world. And next thing you know, Rob, the baby's awake. What do you mean the baby's awake? I mean, I didn't hear a thing, but mommy ears. She heard that sound. Listen, the true believer is going to hear a sound. The sound of a trumpet call, calling your name. And you will be with him. What a marvelous thing to imagine. And you know what? That will mark the beginning of our eternity together. The rapture marks the beginning of our eternity. He says this: after that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, that seems kind of weird to me, kind of remarkable to me. Just think about it. One moment, you're texting. The next moment, you are flying like Superman. One moment, you're riding on 66. The next moment, you're riding in the clouds. Glory be to God. One moment, you're taking a shower. The next moment, you're getting wind-dried at 50,000 feet. And check this out. You won't even need a parachute. Speaking of parachutes, I heard a story about some people in an airplane. There was a pilot, there was a doctor, there was a lawyer, a little boy, and a pastor. And something happened in the plane. The plane starts going down, and the pilot says, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. And he just jumps out the window in the parachute. Only 3 more parachutes left. And so the doctor said, well, I save lives. It's important that I live. And so he jumps out with the other parachute. Then the lawyer says, well, I'm the smartest man in the world. I've got to live. He jumps out with the parachute. And so the pastor looks at the little boy. He says, son, he says, I've lived my life, had a pretty good life, pastor in Christ Chapel Mountaintop. And he says, you need a life to live. You take this parachute. The boy gives the pastor back the parachute. He says, pastor, that's all right. The smartest man in the world jumped out with my backpack. See, how many know it's good news that we don't need a parachute? Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And the Bible says it this way. He finishes this and he says, people, you're worried about death. You're worried about your anxieties. You're worried about your mortgages. You're worried about this, that, and the other. But you are only tasting a small portion of time. He says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. In other words, in the end, we win. In the end, come on, we win. We will be with the Lord. Your anxieties are gone. Your cares are gone. Your fears are gone. Your hopes are risen. You will spend eternity with him. Now, I don't know how long eternity is, but I do know eternity is a long time. He will snatch us up in the air, and he will be with us always. Let me ask you, Is your hope stirred up this morning as Craig's come? Come on, is your hope stirred up this morning as Craig comes? Amen. Are you excited about what God is doing? You're all part of his plan, of his great purposes. If you are in Christ Jesus, you have a promise that God will return. And how many know that Jesus does not break his promises? He says, I go prepare a place for you. I guarantee you it's better than your single family home. I guarantee you it's better than your townhouse, your little apartment that you're so proud of. He's got a place for you. He's going to come himself to bring you to him. Now, let me tell you something. Man will tell you anything, won't they? Men will promise you anything, won't they? I remember, I don't know why God did this. I remember when I was a little boy. And of course, I didn't think about heaven or hell or any of that kind of thing. The only thing I thought about was eating cookies, ice cream, and playing games. But one thing I did think about was my parents, when I was in fourth grade, they were separated on the way to divorce. I had a great hope that one day that my parents would be back together again, that I would have this relationship with my father. And I would tell you that I longed for my dad. And there were times when, boy, I would just cry because my dad wasn't around, and I would be sad because there's no way I'd get in contact with him. And there were times when my mom would get in contact with my dad, and she would arrange little visits or outings. One of my favorite outings is, yeah, y'all know I'm a Redskins fan. And my dad would promise that he would come pick me up and take me to the games. And so here I am, little fat Rob, sitting on the curb with a bunch of now-laters in my pocket. We didn't have Skittles back then, just now-laters. And I would have my little Redskin beanie on. I would have my little Redskin banner. And I was sitting there waiting to see my dad. And you know what? My dad wouldn't show up most of the time. But glory be to God. I have a Father in heaven, and his son is Jesus. And let me tell you, he's going to show up. He's not going to leave you on the curb. I don't care what's going on in your life. He will be there to get you. So open up the ears of your heart and get ready to be with him. Come on, church, get ready to be with him. Don't be ignorant or afraid. Be ready to be with him, because he's coming for you, amen? And he's coming for me. Glory be to God. Because at 13, Jonah, I gave my life to Christ. And by faith, I accepted him. And I knew that God loved me. And he wouldn't forget about this funny-looking dude with the imperfect body. Hallelujah. He wouldn't forget about me, and he's not going to forget about you. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. Father, I thank you for loving your body. I thank you for loving your church. This is your bride. We're not often very good looking, God. We must admit we don't often do what we're supposed to do. Sometimes, God, we get worn out, weary, God. We don't have good attitudes. We're not dressed right. Sometimes, God, we even turn our back upon you, our husband. But, God, we want to just tell you this morning that we love you. Does anybody love the Lord? Come on, if you love the Lord, just put your hands up. Hallelujah, that we love you, God. We can't wait till you come back again. We can't wait till you come back again. We thank you.